Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. When a new public space at the Hudson River Park near West 13th Street recently opened, it was to much fanfare. It already had a bunch of nicknames. Stiletto Island, because the base of the park looks a bit like high heels. It's sometimes called Diller Island, because the man whose family foundation funded the $260 million project, that would be media mogul Barry Diller. Its real name is Little Island, and it's part green space, part architectural destination. And if you go towards the back, there's a performance space, an amphitheater right there, above the Hudson River. It is going to be a little busy at Little Island very soon. Starting next week, Little Island will host a four-week, practically nonstop arts festival with an eclectic lineup of performers. Starting August 11th, the month-long event called NYC Free will feature dancers, comedians, musicians, spoken word poets, art workshops, and much more. With me now to help preview the festival is Mickey Shepherd, lead producer of NYC Free on Little Island. Mickey knows a thing or two about putting on events. She is the former executive producer of the Apollo Theater and worked with the Brooklyn Academy of Music and co-founding of 651 Arts. Mickey, welcome to All of It.
Thank you, Allison. Thank you for bringing me on.
So when you thought about this, when you really sat down and thought, what do we want to do here? What was the mission? What was the creative vision of NYC Free?
The vision was really supporting New York City artists and their engagement with the residents and visitors to New York City and through live performance. You know, after a year of being isolated from each other, live performance is really what connects them. So it was very much about that. And, you know, and it was also about bringing people into this incredible space, as you know, and so they can kind of bump up against each other. You know, very different people. The thing about parks is they're very democratic spaces, and people sort of come in, all kinds of people come in, and you see that in Little Island, and they're experiencing the same thing. And I think that's what's kind of exciting, is that you do have this eclectic mix of artists, and some of whom they would never see, and in some cases people would. So you're seeing things that maybe it's things that you've just never been able to see, never even thought about. And so that's important to us, but just sharing that moment with other people, you know, that live performance with other people. And, you know, and it's very much like New York City. The beauty of New York City is the differences, right? So if we sort of create an energy and a liveliness and this kind of constant creative dialogue and engagement because of our differences. We're constantly bumping up against each other. So we have 460 artists and 160 performances, music, dance, poetry, that are happening over that period of time, the 11th of August through September 5th. And it's everything from experimental music and poets tours and A-list comedy lineups and emerging comic artists. Some works are finished and some are works in progress, and you can sit and watch rehearsals. And so if you don't have a ticket to a performance, you can actually come earlier in the day or the day before and watch a rehearsal, and you'll get to see some of the same things.
It was very interesting. In an interview you did in the New York Times, you said, we wanted artists to have a voice in terms of where are they now coming out of this pandemic? Where do they want to be? What kind of answers have you gotten from artists as they embark on this project?
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the things that we did, and I should explain that, even though I'm the producer of the festival, part of my strategy was to bring in advisors, artistic advisors, and I brought in about five of them, actually, who worked across disciplines, and to bring on artists as curators so that they were empowered to help us think about what this might look like. So it sort of spoke to where they are right now, where they want to be, where they have been. And so in some cases, it's very celebratory because they're celebrating this freedom, you know, and to be able to perform and complete works, for example, that they haven't been able to do in a long period of time. And for other people, they're sort of investigating the island. There are quite a few artists that, like Tariq Al-Sabir, who's doing a sound walk, who has been inspired by the island and wanted to create this sort of walking tour of the island, as well as poets. We have four poets who are doing walking tours. They're creating new work around the island. They'll be going throughout the entire island with people on a tour, and they've been inspired by the island. And so, you know, it depends on who the artist is, kind of where they are. But for many of the artist curators, and I go back to that because that was really important to us, that the artists were empowered to actually help us think about what should be part of this. So it wasn't just their work. It was also thinking about who else should be part of this. who else is doing interesting work and should be part of this inaugural festival.
You mentioned Tariq Al-Sabir, and he has something called Little Islands Facts and Sounds. It's a digital audio experience as part of the festival. Let's listen to a sample of this digital audio experience from the NYC Festival. This is was curated by Tariq Al-Sabir.
I won't be afraid to ask for help. The real ones will stand behind me. The fake ones will leave.
Setting Little Island apart from other public parks in New York City, the island has several exciting outdoor performance venues scattered throughout its landscape. There's the amphitheater that seats over 600, a more intimate space that we call the Glade. There's the playground, and three grassy intimate overlooks where smaller presentations will take place. The piece you are hearing now is Note to Self by Rafia.
And let go of all that stress. Girl, don't you know that you will be successful? You gon' blow, let them know that I told you so. How many means?
That's a little bit of the digital audio experience. You can check out part of NYC Free. I'm speaking with Mickey Shepherd, producer of NYC Free on Little Island, which opens August 11th and runs through September 5th. I did want to mention that I think it's the first event of the festival. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Will be a moment of silence for New Yorkers who lost during the pandemic and for the children who lost a parent or a guardian. Why was this important for your team to kick it off this way?
Well, let me just say that Adam Tendler, who is an amazing pianist, conceived this program. He's also one of the curators and has come up with a number of ideas, really wonderful ideas for the program, for the festival. He had this idea of the John Cage 4 minutes, 33 seconds piece, which is really a silent piece from 1952. And he used it to frame it as a moment of silence so that we could acknowledge, before we jump into celebration, acknowledge the New Yorkers that were lost to COVID-19. And there were at least 5,000 children who lost a parent or guardian. So we thought it was really important to kind of make that statement right up front. So that's at 11 o'clock in the morning, and there's multiple performances of it through 1 p.m. And he's doing this with the students from the Third Street Music School Settlement. Mm. So it's a really, I think it's a wonderful way for us to acknowledge what has happened in over the past over more than a year as we move forward into the festival and the future for many of us and into a celebratory moment.
As we were all dealing with the pandemic over the past year and a half, of course, there was the huge emotional outpouring around social change and systemic racism and calling out injustice. How has NYC Free and the artists and curators been thinking about that relationship between art and social injustice?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think probably if you look at the work that Robin Garland and Misty Copeland, they're also curators in the program. They're doing a piece for the program, and it really focuses on, well, first of all, it has dancers from Dance Theater of Harlem, ABT, and from New York City Ballet, young African-American dancers. And, you know, these companies have never really performed together, I think, maybe very rarely. And so he's brought them in to perform, but to really show who they are. But the work itself, there's a narration by Misty Copeland from historical pieces, but, for example, a Frederick Douglass address. And it really is a lot of these dancers, because they are, you know, Black artists, African-American artists who are performing in ballet companies that, you know, traditionally have been all white. The fact is that when all of a sudden Black Lives Matter and all of the movements around the racism surfaced over the last couple of years, George Floyd, people start to go to these artists and say, you know, what do you think? And, you know, here are these 19, 20, 21-year-olds, you know, who certainly have a point of view, but are very much focused on their work. And I think they wanted to make a statement about, you know, the past, certainly, and the present, but also, you know, who these artists are as dancers.
I'm interested in this idea of these creative breaks, something that's going to be involved as well, including things like bilingual story time or dance. What are the creative breaks going to look like?
Okay, so it's like 11 to 12 in the morning. Michael Wiggins, who's the director of education and engagement at Little Island, he actually has put together a really wonderful series of programs that are happening just before the festival, during the festival, after the festival. And it includes artists who will be perhaps focused on Latin dance, And they will do, there'll be a sort of a teaching artist along with an art, a performing artist. So you might have someone who would be from a dance company. And actually they're doing New Victory Dance Labs as part of that. So New Victory Theater is presenting a number of different artists, a teaching artist and a performer who will do sort of a lecture demonstration. I don't want to call it quite that, but it is that. And so people get a chance to see movements, but also for artists to sort of talk about the movements and then even for people to try a few things. And so, and it's very interactive. So you'd have that from 11 to 12 almost every day. Well, for us, it's between Wednesday and Fridays from 11 to 12.
My guest is Mickey Shepherd. We are talking about NYC Free Festival on Little Island, which opens August 11th and runs through September 5th. You've talked about some of your collaborators, and one of your collaborators is a name a lot of people know, obviously, George C. Wolfe, the playwright and director.
Oh, yeah.
He said something about NYC Free, which is really funny. He said, nothing about it is refined. It is to give people a place to play. What's a good example of that in the festival?
Well, you know, I think if you look at the first day, I mean, let me just tell you, one of the things that George said to me, he was the one who first approached me about being the festival producer. And one of the things he said when I was talking to him, I said, well, how do you envision this? And he said, messy. You know, it's got to be messy. It's just got to be all kinds of things. And I took him up on that. And that's why we have so many artists doing so many different things. But I think if we look at the first day of the festival in terms of, you know, this the idea of play, you know, we start off with John Cage and then you go to Beth Gill. Who's a choreographer, does a lot of site-specific work. And she's going to be working on the south bridge of where everyone enters the park. And her vision is around comings and goings of the people around you, the natural environment, and really a dance that is a celebration of the body and to sort of understand what has happened to us and sort of bringing life back into the space. And so as people sort of go into the park, to enter the park, she's right there performing and sort of leads them into the space. You know, one of the things that happened the other night, I was watching Sarah Denke, as also another artist who does site-specific work and been inspired by the park, and she's been working with some of the community organizations that are local groups there in the area. And she, I could see her dances sort of performing in a space. They were rehearsing, and all these little girls around 6-7 years old, the dancers had their backs to them, and the little girls were dancing around doing the exact same movements as the dancers. It was just hysterical. So that kind of pop-up sense is there. You have a lot of that just sort of appears out of nowhere, and people sort of stop, and they look, and then they kind of move along. And then you have, you know, and during the daytime, there are rehearsals all day. They're open. They're not closed rehearsals. They're open. People can go in. If you don't have a ticket for the evening, there could be a rehearsal in the afternoon for that performance, and you get to sit and listen to it. And the interesting thing about the space is that you can, if you're in the amphitheater and you have a ticket and you're watching a performance, if you didn't get a ticket, you could be hanging out on some of the railings, or you could be hanging out in the overlook or on the lawn, and you can still see and hear what's going on. So people have an opportunity to be in the space, but also to be around the space and experience things in different parts of the place. And then in addition to that, you know, for the opening night, we also have Moving Currents, which are, it's actually a dance program with, you know, six very different projects, and it really showcases sort of the range of contemporary dance. And I think it's going to be a stunning performance against the sort of the evening sunset and natural beauty kind of the Hudson River. And that was curated actually by two of our advisors, Georgiana Pickett and Ellie Wallace. And then once that's over, there's a break, and there's music in the glade, and there's a DJ playing in the playground. People can dance. There's going to be Lakeisha Benjamin and Soul Squad, and she does sort of mixes up jazz, hip hop, soul, and funk. It's going to be coming back into the amphitheater for the second program, so it'll be a big party, an opportunity for people to really get involved. So it's not just about sitting and watching; it's about being engaged and participating as much as it is watching.
Let me tell listeners, NYC Free Festival on Little Island on Hudson River will begin August 11th and run every day through September 5th. It will feature performances and entertainment for more than 460 artists. If you want, timed entry reservations are required to enter afternoon. Stay as long as you want. You should make reservations at littleisland.org. Mickey Shepherd, lead producer of NYC Free on Little Island, thank you so much for helping us preview this festival.
You're welcome, Allison, and thank you so much for having me on. And let me just tell everyone, even if you can't get a ticket for performances in the amphitheater, you can get a timed entry pass. They are available, yep. And you can come in from any time and just be part of the program.
Nikki, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.